So we left off last week talking about there were 1900 years of Baptist history written before the fundamentalism arose. Baptists were ecclesiastically separated, church separation. We didn't intermingle. We just like our church here. We are an independent church. We're not part of any association or fellowships or this or that or the other. We are ecclesiastically separated. The Bible teaches that. Baptists throughout the ages held to certain distinctives that caused them to hold to a rigid separation from error at any cost. Those are the Baptist distinctives. I believe we handed those out last week, didn't we? Okay. So, for the sake of trying to get through this lesson, if you have those, I encourage you to read through those yourself. And just think on those as we work through the fundamentalism aspect of things. And really understand the Baptist distinctives for yourself. Why they matter, why they're important. So on letter B, it says in the early 1900s, the Evangelical Alliance was fighting the battle of German rationalism in their schools. These non-Baptist Protestant schools were threatened to the point of total apostasy through this heresy. So the Evangelical Alliance was all these Protestant different denominations. German rationalism was basically the whole Nazi movement. It was heavily influenced by Darwinism. The Nazis actually were very cultish and involved in a lot of cultic religions. Worship the sun. It was one of the big things. They had a big sun worship aspect to their cult. But basically what happened there as this German rationalism gained popularity, and all that was led about by a lot of different factors that we don't have time to go into right now. But if you study how the Nazi Party came to power, the beginnings of World War II, all that, you'll understand how that played a role. But German rationalism started taking over. Christianity kind of fell by the wayside. I actually did have a paper I wanted to read to you, one thing. But so in their attempt to kind of protect their position, they banded together. And they came together and they formed these the Evangelical Alliance, where they came up with the fundamentals of the faith. And so some well-meaning, I'll say well-meaning, I don't know if they were well-meaning or not, Baptist, thought, hey, this is a great idea. Let's just join right in, and we'll all be stronger together. Wrong. So I can't find that paper I was going to read you, but it just kind of helps explain that whole thing a little bit better. And it's interesting, as you read, it was written in 1930-something. It sounds like it was written yesterday with what's going on right now. That was kind of the birth of the Evangelical Alliance. They're still in existence today. You can go on their website, check them out. It's actually pretty interesting. I just Googled it, and bam, there it was, and opened up their website, and they were really proud of themselves. At first glance, it all seems like, hey, that makes sense. Read a little further and prove all things. They're really big on the whole universal church idea. They're primed to be absorbed back into the Catholic Church. And this is the problem with the Baptists that have adopted this whole fundamentalism idea. Because, you know, they believe the same thing we believe, right? So, if you go on from there to see, when the Evangelical Alliance finally took a stand on certain basic Christian doctrines, many Baptists in their day applauded them. What happened next was an event that would hurt Baptists in many ways. The Evangelical Alliance produced the fundamentalist movement. Everyone who rejected German rationalism and adhered to certain basic biblical or Bible doctrines was welcomed in the club. Sadly, some Baptists inadvertently turned their backs on ecclesiastical separation and 1,900 years of glorious history and unwisely joined the ranks of fundamentalism. Remember that these fundamentalist churches were the daughters of Rome, having as their origin and alleged authority the Protestant Reformation. Does anybody see a problem with that? Anybody? One, I kind of figured. I'll read it again. Having as their origin and alleged authority the Protestant Reformation. Why would that be a problem for a Baptist church? Two reasons. Probably more than two, but two right off the bat. Yeah.
They didn't come out of the Protestant movement.
Well, because where did the Protestant movement come from?
Catholic Church.
What's that?
And they were killing Baptists.
They were killing Baptists. Okay. What's the other problem in that statement? Where's our authority come from? Does it come from McGregor Road Baptist Church?
No.
Does it come from Pastor Chris Kaiser?
No.
What's it's in there in those Baptist distinctives? If you got it, it's on there. What's our authority? What?
Word of God.
Does anybody believe it?
Yes.
The scripture is our source for sole authority. It is the final word in all things.
All matters of belief and practice.
Right. Actually, I think I have it.
Inspired by God.
So, yeah, the church is not our authority. There is authority in the church, but where does that authority come from? From the Word of God. So, adopting this fundamentalist movement creates two big problems right out of the bat. One, it associates us with the Protestant Reformation, which associates us with the Catholic Church. And two, it basically says that authority comes from the church, which ultimately would be the Catholic Church, if you connect the dots. That's a problem. That's a big problem. So the great mistake was for men who already stood for the whole Bible to join a club that only required you to stand for certain select fundamentals of the Bible. Realize that whenever you emphasize certain truths, you inevitably must de-emphasize others. If some are fundamental, then others are not. If we will separate over some truth, then some truth is not important enough to separate over. I have read over that statement several times and just kept, I mean, I got it the first time I read it, but there was just a thought there that was just like, it was right there. There was something I was wanting, but it was right there. It was just a little bit out of reach. If we're not going to stand on all truth, then why stand on any truth? I mean, if God's word is not God's word, if it's not all God's word, if only part of it's important, if only some of it's important, I mean, that has unbelievable implications. This whole fundamentals mindset. To be honest with you, I probably have a hard time articulating it. Sometimes things don't go from here to here. But when it really hit me like a ton of bricks. That opens up a door. When you have like, okay, so we all agree on these little fundamentals, then that means it's up to you what is important and what is not important, what is truth and what is not truth, what binds us and what doesn't bind us. What if we practice that right here? What if we decided Mercury Road, we wanted to come up with some fundamentals that everybody, every member of this church need a degree on these fundamentals? Does anybody see where that could become a big problem? Go, Kyle. Absolutely. And that is the issue right there, because it allows you and I to become the authority and decide what is important and what is not important. Instead of allowing God to rule our hearts, lead us in all truth, right? I think it just kicks open a really dangerous door just on both ways. You can go extreme where the church is the authority, or you can go the extreme where the church has no authority. Yeah.
I think the issue there really is that, in a sense, we do emphasize some doctrines over others and come together on those. Those become very important. I think the issue, though, really, with fundamentalism wasn't so much that. The local church and the body has the authority, the power to govern themselves under God. The problem with fundamentalism was that there was another body between them and God. Right? And that in a sense is like the Lutheran model, the Senate rule, it's that you have the local church, but then you have another governing body between you and God.
Right.
And God's biblical model is that we are directly under Christ and we govern, we're self-governing, autonomous.
Right.
Right. Right. So we have the autonomy of the local church. That's part of a Baptist belief as well. And so this is a hard one really to work through. Because I know Kyle's saying, we don't force compulsory believe everything like I or anybody else believes here. We leave people in the truth, we let the Bible speak. But at the same time, if someone started preaching Calvinist doctrine, we're out of the hang.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Anyway, you guys come back. Anyway. But the point is that there are certain things like that, but we govern under Christ. Christ is leading our church individually, not going back to the mother group, if you will, whether it's a synod type thing or even the Catholic Church. Or obviously being theology or whatever else, we don't go back to that. We just go to the Word of God and we come together because God's given us the responsibility to be the pillar of God and the truth. So, I don't know.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. And my problem with this, as I read this statement, I thought about the fundamentalism, is who decides what those fundamentals are? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want that group over there deciding what we believe here.
And the Southern Baptist Convention right now is dealing with that.
Right.
That particular thing. Because they're coming out and they're saying, hey, we believe, as a group, we believe that, homosexuals can be preachers or whatever, on and on and on. Or marriage, the big thing right now is marriage, that they are compelled. Hey, our group believes that
right.
We can do marriages, homosexuals. And then there's these churches saying, what do you mean? And so that's exactly what it leads to.
Well, and then you go, I had a thought and I lost it, I'm sorry. I do that sometimes. Yeah, I remember what I was going to say. The odds of everybody in this church, every member of this body, I know we differ on some things. But there are certain things that we cannot differ on. The doctrine of salvation. We can't differ on that. It's clearly laid out in Scripture. Now, you can say, I don't see it that way. Well, that's fine. You can believe that, but you're probably not saved. Okay? We We can't believe that you get saved through baptism. You're in the wrong church. Right? Who decides that, though? Does the pastor decide that? Did we decide that? Or did the Spirit of truth lead each person here that believes that in that truth?
But ultimately, each person has to agree with that.
Right.
And we're self-governing.
So what's the odds that we're all brought together believing the same thing? Randomly from out in the world. I mean, my wife and I, we came to this church. We didn't know anybody here. We didn't know anything about this church. We didn't know anybody that went to this church. But I knew when I sat there and I heard the Word of God preached, I knew I was in the right place. The Holy Spirit moved my heart, and I knew what I was hearing was the truth. I knew it was the Word of God being preached with power and authority. So when we start deciding what truth is important, and what truth isn't important, I think we're treading on dangerous ground. I think we need to allow God to determine what truth is important. And all of the Word of God. Every what is it? Not one jot or tittle will pass away till all be fulfilled. So apparently even the punctuation is important.
Amen.
So, the problem is that doctrinally, the Baptists were already to the right of every Protestant group. Their origins were more pure and their heritage more rich. All that could happen in an unscriptural union such as this is that the pure would become impure. When some Baptists embrace this ecumenical, doctrinally weak fundamentalism, the Baptist faith was hurt in several ways. What did fundamentalism do to our Baptist heritage? Aside from all of the doctrinal and separation issues, which are very important but not pertinent to this particular study, fundamentalism effectively severed us from our testimony. Sadly, Baptists turned their backs on 1,900 years of Baptist history and inadvertently accepted the relatively short history of Protestantism as their own. This is one of the greatest victories the devil has ever won. Please discuss this problem. So before we go forward, just make sure we all comprehend what he's saying here. I'm a Haley. I was born in the Haley family. We're different. We do things one way, and we have an identity, right? We have a history. My grandfather was a tank commander under General Patton in World War II. He met my grandmother at a sock hop. Over there in England, in Sheffield, England. They got married there during the war. After the war, my grandfather came back to America here in Cumberland, Indiana. My grandmother came over on the Queen Mary and reunited with my grandfather, and lo and behold, here I am. Okay? There's a lot more behind them two that I know, but for the sake of time, the point is, I know my family history. I know where I come from. I'm a Haley. Very proud of that fact. But all of a sudden, I'm going to be a Kaiser. Or I'm going to be a Horton. I'm going to abandon all my family history and I want to adopt yours. Does that work?
No.
No, it doesn't work. But that's basically what he's saying has happened here. As they turned their back on their history and adopted this false narrative. I mean, there's no way I could be a Horton. I'm not a Horton. I'm not a Kaiser. It would mean nothing to me. It would have no effect on my identity. There's mannerisms that I've picked up that were passed from, I see things how my grandmother did things and held her hands and facial expressions she made. I do the same thing. I'm not going to be able to mimic Papa Kaiser. You know what I mean? So, it's a crude analogy, but if you understand what I'm saying here, we picked up some bad traits by abandoning our history and deciding we want to adopt this other history of the Baptist history as Protestantism. And as you study this, if you study this closely, you'll find a lot of Baptist churches have adopted a lot of practices and traditions that, if you trace them back, the roots are in Catholicism. A lot of Protestant churches practice a lot of, obviously, Catholicism. And because of this, this opened the door for a lot of that stuff to get into Baptist churches. That's why a lot of good Baptist churches died. Because they become apostate. Very little.
Very little. And I've been in that forever because yeah. That's my situation with our family.
Right.
And if I try talking about it, I get yelled at.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I get yelled at and shouted down. And so basically, the Baptists had to close their mouth over the pureness of salvation and the legitimacy and reason for baptism. And because they could no longer talk about that, the history went away.
Right.
Because the history is all about that.
Well, then, you know, you have Baptist churches today that are Calvinist, have Calvinistic doctrine. Right. But how did that get there?
Fundamentalism.
Right. It was the vessel by which those things infiltrated those churches. And then, you know, if you get injected with a virus, does that virus stay, like say if you get injected in your hand with a virus, does that stay local in that hand? I don't know, it spreads throughout the whole body, right? Well, that's what happens spiritually. A little leaven. Did somebody say that?
Yeah,
a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's true. Well, we're out of time. I was really hoping to get through the rest of this. We'll finish up lesson two next week at the number one and number two there under on page 21. So really enjoyed. I enjoy teaching this class. I enjoy the interaction. I hope you guys are getting as much out of it as I am. I tell you, I've really enjoyed learning about this. And it, you know, the amazing thing about studying this is it really affects you in so many other ways. And just even your day-to-day life and how you view your worldview and what's going on in our world today and in our churches. You really begin to get a better understanding of what's going on. So, Brother Doug, would you dismiss us in prayer?